The third thing is that if God rules against you because he's a fair judge, then he becomes an executioner. He becomes a, Bible talks that you deliver him over to the jailer. Satan becomes a jailer. That's when the name the devil becomes prominent. That is when he starts afflicting people. That's why Paul said that I can deliver somebody over to the devil for the destruction of his flesh. That is when he gets energy from. Please, let's get this clear. Now, what have I said in all of these things? This is where I'm going. When we have troubles in life, this is a summary of it. I've laid a good foundation. Let us not just assume all the time it is one devil that has power against us. Many times, it is God's way, all right, of calling our attention, say, oh boy, I don't want you to die early. Correct yourself now. There's something that God has done for me. I don't know when, it's been a long, if I can't remember when last. Anything wrong happens to me, and I start fighting the devil over it. No. I always start, all right, with looking inwards and saying, God, what is going on? I always say, God, what is going on? I always ask the Lord, what is going on? And this is what you do as Christians. You know, don't just stay out there, you know, you are rebuking the devil. You know, everything has its problems. All right? One of the problems we had with the word of faith when we started, we were young, we followed, all right, was arrogance. My God. Word of faith people, we were arrogant. You enter an Anglican church as an example. They want to sing, just as I am without one plea. Say, my plea is the blood of Jesus. I cannot just, you know, you have to find a way to turn it upside down. You have to show that nobody knows anything. When you see people in places like, you know, this holiness movement, you have to cut them down, abuse them, do everything. And it was pure arrogance. We're just arrogant. And the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, this, we had names. We were Wardites. I'm saying we now, even though I was a small boy at that time, you understand? But I was following my guys. So all of us were doing the bad thing together. You understand? We were Wardites. You know what they call word? That is, we follow the word of God. So I'm a Wardite. And they will call the other people sense knowledge people. So that guy is a sense knowledge man. Where are the word for sense knowledge? It's slang, SK. So that guy, they operate SK. Now SK in the operate. The guy is operating SK. I remember one brother then, when we were in school. He will sit in his hostel. His mates are going to class. He won't go to class. That's how he used to laugh. I didn't know him personally, though I knew him afterwards. The guy was laughing. What was he laughing about? He said, you people are relying on the arm of flesh. Okay, we go. He's talking to students who are going for lectures and laughing. He said, you people are relying on the arm of flesh. Eh? Because he was walking by faith. Why? He had declared his result. Calling those things that be well, that be not as though they were, as it were, you know, I'm beginning to go into the realm of spirit. I'm beginning to call those things down. Hallelujah. When results came, all those things that were not. Brody Lou failed and failed again and failed again. And oh my father, he failed thoroughly. You know, David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. He said, but now I obey your word. My friend said, one thing that his faith did for him, because his faculty where he was in school, they were strict. They were very, very strict in my university. They didn't allow you to repeat a class. There was where they did that and they were tough. But they made an exception for him that everybody said this had to be faith. He went and met the dean and said, forgive me, Father, I have sinned. Like a prodigal son. David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. The only way he would learn that was that he failed. If God wanted to pass him, God said, no, don't pass that boy. That boy had to fail that he might learn righteousness. That's the thing. He had to fail that he might learn righteousness. Many of the failures in our life, God is not angry. It's the patience of God. So this is my girl. I love her very much. Frustrate her small. Why? All these ideas in her mind is not going to help her. That's why I keep on telling Christians, if you rebuke, he refuses to rebuke. You bind, you find the thing not tie. You lose, it's still frozen. Before you do any other thing, go inside and say, "Oh God, what's going on? This thing is not, what's happening? It's not working." I've been telling you, that's what Christians fast about. We fast to gain insight. We fast to have understanding on what to do. Many times in life, what we are doing is a problem. Like I've said many times, our mindsets are wrong. I preached the other day, God said, if I answer you now, you will get a bad plan. You know, I told you that God has a lot of plans. He has a folder that has many plans. Just pick any plan you want. He said, we will reject you. We don't want you as our king again. Give us a king. All right. Gabriel. Yes, Lord. Open the fire. Bring a plan that will destroy them. That one, the heading of that plan was King Saul. God give them that one. And Samuel had a vision and revelation that this is God's anointed king for you. But that was not going to be a blessing to them. Enter the promised land. We don't want to enter until we see what is going on in there. All right, get them a plan. The brother had a plan. What is the heading of the plan? 12 spies. All right, so he said to Moses, find them 12 spies. So they found 12 spies. Joshua, Caleb, and 10 other guys. They went to the promised land. It was never God's will for you to go and look at what is going on there first. But yet it was God that said, choose 12. And when they returned, they denied the word of God. God said, bring me another plan. What's the next plan? Everybody, 40 years, you are going to be in the wilderness. By that time, everybody, 20 years and above, will be dead. You see, God keeps on bringing out new plans. But his will doesn't change. It is your responsibility and my responsibility to find how to unite ourselves with the will of God. Your vision does not mean you are doing what is right to. God can give you a vision, and it's a vision of disobedience. That is, once you obey the vision, it's a sign you have disobeyed God. Saul was brought forth by vision and revelation. But the first statement, God said that these people have rejected me as their king. So Saul was not even the second option. It was a bad option. Are you getting my point? So sometimes when we insist, I want to do it my way, that husband must be from our state. You've said it the first year, second year, third year. God said, listen, I have been keeping quiet. I sent you for Bible study. Pastor Banky has shown you that his wife is from Delta State, is from Ondo State. You have seen it. He has given you testimonies. He has given you the word of God. He said, give offense neither to Jews or Gentiles or the church of God. He said, you are not a Jew, you are not a Gentile, you are the church of God. That means all of you are the same tribe. You have refused to listen. They have preached directly to you. Henceforth, we know no man after the flesh. If any man is in Christ, is a new creature. All states have passed away. Behold, all states of origin have become new. You have refused. God said, no problem. This is the third year. Because Jesus said, dig around it. You know, when Jesus came, the Holy Spirit said, give me one more year. Let me dig around it. By the fourth year, the Lord came back again. Say, any fruit on this vineyard, or what they call it, on this our tree? Even the Holy Spirit said, even me, I'm tired. Yeah, what do you do? Cut it down. There are different levels of cutting it down. Sometimes those levels is like, okay, she has insisted, okay, give her the husband. They now bring one. You know, wickedness na seed. When you meet the guys in church, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Nice guy. Before you ask him, you're jokingly asking, which state are you from? Tell you, just mention the state where you like. As you say, I'm from Anambra, say, oh, Kimo. Where exactly? Just tell you, I'm over here. You happy because you are just from Nobi down the road. Feeling happy. Say, Father, thank you. I come to church. Praise the Lord. Then last year I sowed the seed. As I was sowing that seed, going to the river, I said, this seed, go and bring me a husband from Anambra State. And then, you know, I just said, the closer the better. God said, you see, don't understand. This was the fourth year. First year I corrected you, deafness. Second year I talked to you, you know they hear. Third year I talked to you, you quarrel. I came the fourth year, Holy Spirit said, no, they hear again. So I said to the Holy Spirit, oh yeah, me and the Holy Spirit said, okay, leave, let her be. Finally, we have now brought him to you. Now, you are feeling happy. Wedding day, you will dance. 12 months later, you will come to church with big glasses. What thing happened? I ran into a tree. Okay, no problem.
Then after a while, your husband not come to church again. What is going on? He said he's backsliding. We are praying for him. That guy never believed one day. He just did not know. His mother grew up in that church. That's why he was going. Now that he has made money, he's now a man of his own. Doesn't listen to his mother again. Neither will he listen to you. Then you have to now start learning how to endure. Ha, you know, any church they are talking about endurance, now you go different. You know, you are not enduring. What will you do now? You can't divorce him because the church no go agree. So we pray for your husband. 15 years you pray for your husband. 15 years of suffering. Ah, my father. May it not be 40 years, because the Israelites, 40 years. 40 years will be correct. Listen, let God correct you now. Enjoy the correction. If your friends talk to you, listen. You don't have to agree. Listen first. Take the correction. Go to God in prayer and say, Baba God, look at what they said. Is it true? The Bible says, he that is often reproved, yet hardeneth his heart, shall once suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Let nobody tell you, God knows the cause for Allah. God, he flogged children. God flogs children. Are you getting my point? Listen, if I'm not feeling well, listen, this is a matter of fact. It's worked for me like that for many, many years. First thing I do is, the commonest thing for me, alright, the commonest thing is that I have not been focusing. Maybe I've been too distracted. I don't sleep well. I've been busy. Sometimes it's even ministry work. So if I ever tell you I'm not feeling well, I don't say, at the go hospital, what is wrong with me? I don't, me? Go hospital, check what's wrong with me. I've not done it the last, maybe 30 years. He said, but you're a doctor. Don't worry about it. I don't trust them. That's I have my way of doing things. So, no, I'm serious. I don't like people poking needles around my body looking for what is not missing. Leave me alone. I'm not saying you don't go to hospital. I'm not saying you shouldn't though. But I have some things that I'm very allergic to. Look. I don't know, I just feel like telling this story again. Those of you who are close enough to us, you know the smallest boy in my house, actually my wife's nephew. Alright, but he's like our last son now. When he first came, they said that he takes medicine every day. Why? He said, because he used to have convulsion. I said, in this house, give somebody medicine every day. He said, go for a bad thing. So my wife, come, let us cast out the convulsion from his head. We joined our hands and prayed for him. And the boy was okay for a very long time. Then one day my wife called me that he had a fit. Ah. After 2 weeks or a month later, called me again, he had another one. I said, please, that dose don't expire. Come, let's redose this boy. And since that time till now, Bobo has been fine. Huh? I said, who will be giving you? I know this job. The boy's gonna be slow in school. You give him medicine that will dull his medicine. Tomorrow in the time he doesn't know anything. Why will he know anything? I told my wife, come, let's pray here. We lay our hands on the guy, prayed for him. I said, in this house, nobody takes medicine every day. Papa no they take, mama no they take, all the children, they don't take. So you two, you go join. Line up. Well, that's not my message for today. How did I get there? I know what I was saying. So this is how I used to treat myself. I handle myself. This happened. Remember once I was in Luth. I was ill. And I was ill for a long time. Almost a whole month. I was really, really ill. Every day I was weak. I would come. So one day one of the doctors there saw me. Said that, Chief, how are you doing? I said, I'm fine now. So what happened? I said, no, I'm okay. So what did you take? I said, no, I didn't have to take anything. I found I was a weak spirit. I needed to strengthen my spirit. The guy looked at me like, are you okay? You know, like, Guru Maharaj, what's happening? You know, I said it so naturally. I sound like a mystic to him. He was a house officer. I was a resident doctor working in Luth, Lagos University Hospital at that time. And I was ill for a while. And what happened was that every day, I used to go to work or stroll to work. Then once I get back home, I lie down, listen to a message, confess the word of God, drink plenty of water, and go off to sleep. Wake up in the morning, confess the word of God. I did that for weeks. So one day when I saw him, I said, Chief, how are you doing? I said, I'm fine. He said, okay, so what happened? What did you take? I said, no, nothing. He said, nothing. I said, I found out. I just told him casually, I said, I found out there was a weak spirit. And all I needed to do was just strengthen my spirit, and I'm okay now. The guy looked like a mystic, as if I told him Lord Buddha appeared in the dream and went for meditation. That was the way he looked at me that day. All right? See, there are different aspects of these things. This is not the only way. There are different matters. But I'm telling you what's been happening with me. So that's really what I do. I just take time out, relax, listen to messages, confess the word of God. And some days ago, I just woke up and I wasn't feeling well. All of it, I just wasn't feeling well. Why am I not feeling well? So I went to quote the scripture. I said, no, there's no reason not to feel well. There's no reason not to feel well. So I went to go and preach. I finished preaching. I went to preach somewhere. So I was driving back. I told him, I said, there's no reason not to feel well. Why shouldn't I feel well? Then suddenly, my mind went that you went to church today. I said, yes. So what's wrong? There's nothing wrong with going to church. But when you were at church, we discussed with this person. I said, yes. And you give him this counsel, and that was out of order. And now, for some of you may wonder, what kind of thing are you talking about? It was very, look, there are things that God, see, if you want to fight people in life, don't stand in the path of somebody trying to preach the word of God. God doesn't take it lightly. You hear what I say? If a man wants to prophesy, you know, the word of God, and say, no, you no go talk for here. I don't know, my experience is that God doesn't find it funny. I remember once when we were very young that time, I was not very young, I was very in university. I asked after one man at home. My mother said, I didn't hear. He said, he's dead. I said, what killed him? He said, one has to be careful in this life. Oh. They had a church. They were attending a church. There was one man, they used to call him evangelist. This man took it upon himself to oppose that man. Opposed him seriously. One day he was in his house. He just lit a fire. Boom! The lamp just exploded, burnt him. So he took him to hospital. While he was there, he got tetanus and died. When I was seven, look, people say that God knows they kill. May not kill you. That's what you should just be praying about. I don't know. I don't have this faith in the devil that people worry about. I believe that if God doesn't hand me over to his hand, there's nothing he can do. Nothing. Nothing. The only time I rebuke the devil is when I have seen that everything is in order. I say, okay, Satan, I think that you have overstayed your welcome. Because sometimes when God has forgiven, Satan likes to hold his hand longer than usual. That's when you start kicking him out. Look, be very careful when it comes to the word of God. Respect that thing. Respect. When I did my house job, listen to me. I told this story before. When I started work, I certified the last one of them dead. That was one of the first people I certified dead as a practicing doctor in my life. Later, I heard the story. These people ganged up against the chief medical director and against his band of prayer warriors. This one said, okay. And those ones go, they continue praying. They said, no, they were raising shoulder. The chief matron that time was their leader. They were raising shoulder. Ah, the man, the people, you continue praying. You know? One day, chief matron, they go for us. One day, you get accident, they die. And that woman follow, when they get accident, die. And that person follow, get accident, break leg, was unconscious for weeks. And this one I was telling you about was one of them. Just started having fever one day. They came to work, said, madam, let's admit it. Let's learn the situation. They put on our wards. After 1 week, she died. And they told me, I was new then. They said, these are all the people that ganged up against those people. I'm telling you. I said, fear God and obey his commandment. That is the whole duty of man. Those days when Archbishop Benson Daosa was there in Benin making a lot of trouble and people were fighting him. Many people who rose up against that man just died anyhow. They just be going on the road. The car would just have us, they just die. I'm not kidding. They just fall sick, just die. Do you understand? Christians are not... Don't joke with Christians. You rise up against them anyhow, you die anyhow. I'm telling you the truth. I don't mean to scare you. I just like to let you know that spiritual things are real. Spiritual things are very, very real. So back to what I was saying. Something just clicked in my mind. And I said innocently. And that's what God does. God is good. I said very innocently. I just gave my counsel. Look, listen. It was almost like, don't speak the word of God to that man. Something like that. I'm clouding it like this. I just said, And I was just going that day. I just said, that word just dropped my mind. That you said was out of order. So immediately I said, no, I have to tell this man, all right, that's the counsel I give you. I will. There and I just said, Lord, I'm very, very sorry. Oh, no, I shouldn't have said that. Thank you very much. And why does the Lord do things like that? He has to correct you before you turn into a habit. No matter how much God loves you, you don't do things that give Satan ability to accuse you and you will go free. I told you, the first thing, the sign of God's love is correction. The sign of God's love is correction. One of my friends talked to me today. He said, you know my younger sister? I said, yes. He said, she's dead. I said, what happened? He said, now my mama spoil her. Did you hear what I said? My younger sister is dead, he said. And when this young woman died, she must have been, if she's too young, probably in her late 30s. Yet he's saying that my mother spoiled her when she was a child. So she died in her late 30s. It now gave me a breakdown on how his mother, because she was the last born, spoiled this girl, and she did this, finally. She fell sick and died of a sickness, but his conclusion was that this was because this girl was spoiled. What I'm going to say is that, so when God wants to help you in life, he corrects you. He won't say because he loves you, you'll be doing what is wrong. In my house, when my children do things that I, when I flog them, their mother cries. Do you understand? You flog picking, mama cry. Because I can't let you continue. No, you can't do that. And yet I let the other children watch. So you don't have to flog everybody. One person, they escape, everybody will learn a lesson. And you see God do something, so you just say, Father God. If I want, like my friend Isokoto will say, he said, we learn from our elders both what to do and what not to do. When, if your father is David, you see what he do and when he collects Bathsheba. Then I say, Bathsheba, good morning. If you greet me there, open. If you greet me. This, okay, what do I do? You don't know what is going to be in my mind. The last person will greet my papa like this. I know what he will suffer for family. I beg, leave me, not greet me again. Why? You learn from the mistake of David. You know, I'm saying all of these things. Please, just allow me. I know I've taken more time than usual, but I'm summarizing the whole message. God corrects us. And the people say that God doesn't, you know, he corrects you by words. When you don't hear words, he uses situations and circumstances to correct. He corrects different ways, dreams and visions. Listen, if you're having a problem, it's not going away. Look, you rebuked the devil 3 years ago. Did you notice? 2 years ago, you rebuked the devil. After a while, sit down and say, please, devil, wait there. I'm going to rebuke you in a moment. Let me go and talk to God first. About God, please. This devil, I don't rebuke him. He go, come back. Go, come back. What am I doing that's drawing him back? Once you pray that prayer, listen, you start having understanding. And as I'm trying to talk about God-centered praying, in the midst of our troubles, you know, I've said before, we look at the face of God, but I'm talking about correction. God corrects us. If you find yourself, you're in one spot, and you're not moving from that spot, go and find that there's something that God wants to change. And usually it's not just outward. It has to start inward. It's an inward thing that God wants you to change. Then it will now manifest in the way you do many things outwardly. But the primary change is inside. I told this story many times now, that, you know, one of the men that blessed me the most in life, you know, is Kenneth Hagin. Because, not because of his teaching ministry, that was good, I learned a lot from his teaching ministry, but it's mostly his prophetic ministry that I learned from. And the man used to say he liked to teach, he did not like to do his prophetic ministry, alright? But the interesting part, after listening to things and observing life, I realized that actually he had more unction upon his prophetic ministry than he had upon his teaching ministry. And he said God told him once, he said, what happened? He was just trying to jump, you know, like he was running around while preaching. He jumped into the air. He was about to land. When he realized he was going to land on something that was valuable and breakable. So they let him just shift his balance. As he shifted his balance, all right, he slipped and hit the floor and smashed his, he knocked his elbow out of place. And while he was in the hospital recovering, suddenly he had a vision. The Lord just appeared to him and took his seat. He said, that was the chair my wife just got up from not too long before that, a few minutes before. And the Lord just took that chair, sat down. Let us talk. I told her I was going to talk to you. He said, if that did not happen to you, you will have died before the age of 57. That you would not have lived beyond the age of 57. That was the correct one. I just heard it recently again. 57. Why? He said, because you were, in fact, according to him, I totally neglected my prophet ministry because it was not accepted by many people who did not understand. I focused purely on my teaching ministry. And God said, I've watched you do that for some time.
And if I let you go on like this, 57 years of age, you'll be dead. Whether it's God that smashed his elbow, whether it is Satan, it was God that used that opportunity to correct. And God said, this is the only way I could get to talk to you. But that's something I want you to understand. That the Lord said to him, this is the only way we could have this conversation. If I've given you an offering, we won't have this conversation. I'm adding my own words to it now. If you had declared, it shall be well, and it is well, we won't have this conversation. If you had suddenly gotten promotion, you won't have this. We will not have this conversation. You will have continued in what you were doing, and you will have good excuse for what you are doing. But at the age of 56, I'm adding my own words now, you will have fallen ill. 57, you'll be dead. And they say, what happened to the great man of God? One of the greatest prophets that this world ever saw. His name was William Marion Brigham. His followers are still around in town till today. By 1959, God told this other prophet and said, by end of 65, I am going to remove that foremost prophet in the body of Christ. Why? Because he's leading my people astray. And today, read his teachings. The man has all kinds of weird teachings. And God said, I'm going to remove him. Why? He's leading my people astray. At the end of 65, yes. The man was going on the road. The car was in front. And his son, because his first wife died during a particular, I think there was a weather, the storm or something. So his wife died. And so his first son by that first wife was driving, Billy Paul. He was in front. He was in the car coming behind. Then suddenly, a drunken driver swerved. So there are no accidents in this life. A drunken driver swerved, boom, and hit his car head on. Threw him and his wife out of the car. Broke his bones in many places. His son saw it in the rearview mirror, turned and came down there. Saw the father wounded, the stepmother dead. Turned to the father. The father said, how is mama? He said, I think she's dead. He said, put my hand on her, she will live. Anointed man, he died. The wife lived. But he died in hospital. Why? Because a few years before, another prophet heard. God said, the man who stands in the forefront of the prophetic ministry today, I am going to remove him. Why? He's leading my people astray. What was the reason? He was not prophesying, he was now teaching. I told you before, he took on the teaching thing because people wanted to teach. People would love teachers at that particular season. And people walked to him. People like God, they walked up to him and said, sir, stop this teaching thing. It's not flowing. He said, I like it. People begged him, he not agree here what. All this fear we have of the devil, every little thing happened, we're shouting devil, 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 devil. Listen, devil, you know me and you, we have arrangement. You don't come to my house, I don't go to your own. I don't go to shrine. You get my point? Yes, you don't go, you don't find me in a shrine. You won't find me in one small guest house in one corner where nobody knows I'm going there. That's another shrine. People think, oh, the only shrine you see is when you do a rimu, yeah, that one at home video. Most shrines that guys, men go to is women's houses. What is eating is concussion. Doesn't know. You think it's pepper soup. This is my flesh that was broken to destroy your life. The guy gives him a bottle of malt, ordinary malt. He drinks it. Said, drink the cup of the old covenant. I will destroy everything that you have labored for. I don't go to the devil's house, it doesn't come to mind. Let's give each other space. Anything happens to me, my eyes go up first. Father God, what happened? Did I neglect the word? Where did I break this thing? Then the Holy Spirit begins to lead you and say, oh boy, that's not the right thing to do. You repent and then look at the devil. You smoke something? Because once you have repented and God has forgiven you, suddenly you look, devil, here come. Devil say, I was just playing with you. I say, I know. Shift. I'm telling you, it's a kind of rubbish place that come here again. You forget that you're not using it. You say, if you come here again, I would say, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. It's that humility before God first that we use to strengthen ourselves against the devil. Listen, I'm summarizing my message. God-centered prayer. Problems in your life, please, don't focus on enemies. If you have given your life to Christ, the witch in the village is not your problem. Somebody cursed your grandmother 85 years ago. What do you concern you?
You were not born after the flesh. You were born after the spirit. Are you getting my point? So the curses are the natural lineage doesn't concern you. You have been set free from it. You said, this happened to my mother, happened to my grandmother. Listen, unless you are still behaving like they did. Some people, they have the bad habit of their grandmother, which their mother inherited, they have also inherited and they are proud of it. You know me, I don't take any nonsense from any man. Why? You learned it from your mother. That's why she was never happy. That's why your father, I'm telling you, that's why your father married the second, the third wife. Your father was not a man of God. So when your mother gave him too much stress, he had to go and take a second wife. Ah, every man is entitled to some happiness. Pursuit of happiness. those of us that don't do such things, because we have another place for happiness. If your wife won't give you happiness, you will rejoice at thy word. Your father didn't have the word of God. Your mother is giving him harassment. Ladies, I should let you talk to us, men. Let's tell you how men feel. You think, look at that nonsense. That bush woman that my father was going to see. That bush woman used to pick his back without complaining. That bush woman will sit down and pluck, leaf with him. Without her, how was your day? Your mother standing like this, I've told you in this house, I will never agree. Then look, without your PhD, you don't agree. I go to someone who didn't go to school, but I agree all the time. And you have learned your mother's stupid habit. And I wonder why everybody know they talk to you for church. That's it's a curse that was on my grandmother. It's not the curse, it's the bad behavior. So better repent of all that nonsense. And when they are calling you tough woman, better reject it, say, I'm not tough, I'm very soft. I'm like Sarah, my mind is cool. The Lord is good. Let us go home, Joe. I'm taking it off. I want to end this one today. I hope you've gotten everything I've said so far. Listen, you, in Christ Jesus, I say it all the time, you are free. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
The devil doesn't have any power over you. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
You are seated in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. You are seated with Christ Jesus on the right hand of God. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
You are complete in Christ. Your life is hid with Christ in God. You have been washed by the blood of Jesus. Satan cannot hold you. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Jesus died to set you free.
Amen.
He died to set you free.
Amen.
Let me announce to you again, poverty cannot hold you down.
Amen.
Listen, no enemy can say you won't have children.
Amen.
No one of them can prophesy that you will not have a husband or a wife. They can't. Why? Because God has set you free already.
Amen.
Listen, your breakthrough in life is not dependent upon physical or surrounding circumstances.
Amen.
It's dependent upon the spiritual blessing that you have in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
All your problems in life, listen, there are different reasons why Christians have problems. Sometimes it's because of ignorance. If you focus on God's word, your problem will go away. Sometimes it's just a phase of life. It's what they call the trial of your faith. You start a business, didn't do work, learn a lesson and move to the next one. That's just the way it is, all right? Sometimes just a trial of your faith. But ensure that it is not a just recompense of reward for walking in disobedience. That's what we are talking about. If you have any problem, you focus on God, and God will give you understanding. That's why I said that who has offended. In fact, I should read that one, and I close with it. Let's just quickly read this one. Also from the book of Job. I just want to read that one, and then with it, we close. Just go back, 34. This is what God does to you. Listen to this. Say, for has anyone said to God, that chapter 34, verse 31. He said, for has anyone said to God, I have borne chastisement. He said, I will not offend anymore. He said, teach me what I do not see. So that if I have done iniquity, that's because of what I do not know, what I do not understand, I will not do it again. That scripture is very important. Memorize it. Job 34, verses 31 and 32. I like the way it says in King James. Very, very, very beautiful, very poetic. It said, that which I see not, teach thou me. And if I don't know what is right to do, teach me what is right to do. Don't be stubborn. Lean not on your own understanding. In life, what people do, focus on the devil. They blame somebody else. It's not your enemies. If the ways of a man pleases the Lord, he makes even
his enemies to be at peace with him. Listen, you will prosper despite the surrounding circumstances in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God will cause you to ride upon the high places in the name of Jesus Christ. As long as you focus your prayer, your attention on him, knowing his word and walking in righteousness, listen to me, the devil will not be able to hold you back in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you believe that, shout aloud, amen.
Amen.
All right. Quick, let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above in Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.